This broadcast is general in nature and is provided for informational use only and should not be considered investment advice or an offer for a particular security. Views and opinions expressed are those of Richard Bassett and are subject to change based on market and other conditions. Consult an investment professional regarding your unique situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Keep in mind, investing involves risk, including the risk of loss. Investment decisions should be based on an individual's own goals, time horizon, and tolerance for risk. Securities and advisory services offered through Cetera Advisors, LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other named entity.
If your retirement is just a few years away, it may be time to adjust your investing strategy.
The shocking statistic is that by the time somebody reaches 65, 95%, they're dead broke, they're dependent on family, or they're dependent on government.
It's important that people deal with someone to make sure to prove and provide lifetime income.
Welcome to the Financial Planning Hour, presented by J. Marshall Associates of Fall River, hosted by financial advisor Richard Bassett. Over the next hour, be prepared to hear ideas, concepts, and strategies that may challenge the way you were taught to think about saving and investing for retirement. It's time to roll up our sleeves and get to it. Now, here's the host of the Financial Planning Hour, Richard Bassett.
And welcome into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. We are live today in studio. If you've got questions, feel free to give us a call, 508-673-1480. Again, 508-673-1480. It is Monday, March 18th, the day after St. Patty's Day. So everybody was a little bit Irish yesterday, I'm assuming. Hopefully you enjoyed it responsibly and didn't overindulge would be my suggestion. So, you know, it's funny, as we start the show, I like to look at the stock market, and today pretty much everything I follow myself is in green. So far the market is having a decent Monday, and we'll see if that continues a trend for the rest of the week. But again, it is Monday, March 18th. If you have questions, feel free to give us a call, 508-673-1480. As we start the show today, I thought we'd talk about a dirty four-letter word, Dave.
Uh-oh.
Dirty four-letter word. That's right. I'm talking about one of the biggest factors in a successful retirement. That's right. I'm talking about one of the factors that keeps you working longer.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
And
Richard,
keeps your children from leaving the nest. That's right. I'm talking about something that starts small and, in some instances, can be financially crippling. Have you got a guess yet, Dave? Four-letter dirty word?
Loan?
Debt.
Debt.
Debt. Loan's another kind of debt.
Yeah,
but
I'm
debt.
Close.
I'm talking about debt. That's right. I'm talking about that four-letter word that keeps me up at night, and that word is debt. Debt with a capital D. We see it nationally. Our country is ripe with debt. There's a lot of it. The national debt continues to grow. I've seen some statistics recently that tells us the debt is growing at a unfathomable amount. We're talking trillions and trillions of dollars owed, but yet politicians continue to treat business as normal. I don't know how they do that, but you know, and more importantly, I'm talking about debt in your own household, debt that keeps you from retiring. You know, I always think of there's global, and then there's macro, and there's micro, and you know, ultimately in our own households, we've got to focus on what we can control. We cannot control what's going on outside our house and in Washington, D.C., per se, but we certainly can control the habits that we form, the habits that we teach our children, and ultimately will help us successful retirement, retire successfully. It's fascinating to me. I've had client conversations recently where a lot of people are uneasy about the presidential election coming up in November. One way or the other, no one's happy. And that's the one thing I certainly agree with on the radio. No one is happy with our options, I guess. But I'll tell you what, it's not an excuse not to invest, because as we've talked about on the show, Dave, previously, it's not timing the market that matters, it's time in the market that matters. So we've got to keep that in mind, and we've got to keep plugging along. I've never had a client tell me I've saved too much. I never had a client tell me I should put off savings longer. Ultimately, once they start saving, they realize how much time they may have let slip through their hands. And again, one thing that I cannot provide, or any financial professional cannot provide for you, is additional time. You've got to take advantage of the time you have. So in the fourth quarter, this is kind of what got me started on the debt train today. In the fourth quarter of 2023, Americans' total credit card balances were $1.129 trillion with a T. That's a big number. In fact, if you were to go back to zero BC and started spending $1 million a day as a trillionaire, you'd still have money left over. That's how much money we're talking about. A trillion.
That's just the U.S.?
Just the U.S.
Wow.
Yeah, just the U.S. We're our biggest credit card users, by the way, because we want our satisfaction now, whether we can afford it or not. That number that I just gave you, that $1.129 trillion, that number is up from a record $1.1079 trillion in the third quarter of 2023, leaving the balance the highest since the New York Fed began tracking it in 1999. So if you think about that, there's two trends. One, it's getting bigger.
Yeah.
And two, since they've been tracking it, it's the highest number ever. So, you know, I think a lot of Americans are whistling past the graveyard, is the expression my mother would have used back in the day, and not really paying attention to the important stuff, paying attention to what they think is important. This makes it the third consecutive quarter in which Americans' credit card balances have topped $1 trillion, which has never happened before the second quarter of 2023. So literally, it's just continued to trend through 2023 and now into 2024. It also continues a trend of fourth quarter credit card debt increases. Since this quarterly report began in 1999, credit card debt has fallen during the fourth quarter of a year just twice, once in 2009 and again in 2010, as America was dealing with the impacts of the Great Recession. So remember back in 2020, we had the stimulus checks going out. And believe it or not, back then, people were locked in their homes, businesses were closed, couldn't visit with friends. So you know what they did? They paid off their debt. But since then, I think it's been sort of like this jailbreak mentality, which is, hey, COVID's over and I missed out on some good times with my friends and family and travel. So now I'm going to go into bigger debt, credit card debt, to kind of make me happy, you know, and that's called retail therapy, right? Shop therapy. And it works for a moment, I can promise you, but it certainly isn't going to be something you're going to financially become successful doing. You're not going to retire successfully, and you're certainly not going to stay retired successfully if you continue to live that way. So I think that's really fascinating that if we look back, this is a trend, and it's not a good trend. It's a bad trend. People are going deeper in debt. And if you think about, Dave, what do we put on credit cards? We put things that we can't afford, right?
Right.
We don't buy, you know, dinner out that's a normal Tuesday night dinner with our wife or our girlfriend, I hope. And if you got a girlfriend and you got a wife, you're in big trouble. But
bring them both.
I think that it blows my mind, ultimately, is that to see that these debts are becoming bigger. Appliances. I've had people talk to me over the years about, you know, cars, student loans, and, you know, you can use your credit card for just about anything, but you shouldn't. You shouldn't. You definitely should.
Unless you're going to pay it back on a monthly basis.
Yeah. You know what they call those people?
Rare.
Rare, for one. But you know what the credit card companies call them?
I don't know. Freeloaders. No good.
They call them freeloaders.
Yeah.
Deadbeats. That's actually what you want. You want your credit card company to call you a freeloader or a deadbeat because that means they're not earning the interest off you like they are everybody else. If you're using your card, as Dave just suggested, paying it off at the end of every month, then you are using the card for what it was intended because you don't want to carry large amounts of cash around and get robbed. So it makes sense to me to do it that way. But unfortunately, I think that's how they get you. And it's like quicksand. You sink a little bit. You sink a little bit more. Before you know it, you're up to your neck in it.
It probably gets easier and easier to ignore, too, doesn't it?
It does. It does. You know, my parents were great at it when they were alive. God bless them. My parents were always in credit card debt.
Ew.
And they just negotiated and moved one balance to the next, one to the next, one to the next. But the scary thing is eventually that's going to come crashing down on top of you. You're going to get to an age where no longer people are going to want to extend you that kind of credit at good terms, at least. You know, if you look at credit card rates right now, they're in the middle 20s, even the low 30s. So you're paying 30% potentially on purchases because you can't afford them now. And it will literally spread like cancer, and it'll consume you from the inside out is what it'll do. So you have to be rarely aware of it. And as Dave said, he's right. the more used to it you become, the more you normalize it,
yeah,
the more easy it is to ignore the problems of it, which is you're overspending. And if you think about the financial planning hour, what are we really focused on doing for clients and listeners? Retiring.
Yeah.
And if you're overspending, you're not going to get to retirement. You're just not going to get there because you're not disciplined enough to retire. You know, you've got to think about, you know, the sacrifices that people you know who are successfully retired, what do they do differently? They probably don't have the best cars. They probably don't have the best homes. You know, I just came in before the show started and I washed my shoes, my black leather shoes I wear, because they were scuffy. So I'll wash them, and instead of buying new ones, I'll keep them going a little bit longer, maybe put some polish on them even. So you've got to make better choices if you want to retire successfully and if you want to eliminate that debt. So, you know, if you're someone who's not sure how your financial plan works, you don't have a budget, give my office a call. We'll help create one for you. You can call me at 508-673-3300.
For baby boomers, here's something to think about. Will you have enough income during your retirement? Are you absolutely sure? Do you understand the difference between growth and income? How about bonds and bond funds? Are you 100% ready for RMDs? Do you have an estate plan? If you've said no to any of these, we can help. Right now, for the first 5 callers, we'll send you a free, custom-designed animated video retirement kit to help you plan for the retirement you've worked so long and so hard for. These custom video kits are loaded with cutting-edge retirement technology, custom designed to your specific areas of need. There's nothing else like them. So call right now to receive your very own custom designed animated video retirement kit. Call 855-406-6218. That's 855-406-6218. Call now or visit us online at financialplanninghour.com. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. Question for Richard. The studio line is 508-673-1480. You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
And welcome back into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. Today we're talking about that four-letter word that keeps me up at night and hopefully something that you have under control. It's debt. Debt is a problem, and it seems like it's getting bigger in our country. As I mentioned before the break, there are year-over-year, quarter-over-quarter increases, and it seems like the numbers are bigger than they've been ever since 1999 when the statistic was first tracked. And before the break, I had mentioned that the previous quarter's debt was $1.1 million, and now $1.1079 million. When the numbers are that big, decimal place. And now they're up to $1.129 trillion. And that's quite the increase. In fact, that's the increase of $273 billion since the fourth quarter of 2021. $273 billion. And that's just America, as Dave alluded to earlier. How can you retire if you are carrying bad debt? Now, it's funny. I talk about bad debt and I talk about good debt. You know, good debt is something that is okay, a little bit okay.
It's still like debt. A mortgage, for example.
Exactly. Like, thank you, Dave. Like a mortgage, interest on your mortgage is tax deductible. So it's not necessarily, it's still debt, but it's not the kind of debt that your credit card is. Another good example of good debt would be student loan interest. You can write off student loan interest. So oftentimes young people will come see me. They're concerned about their student loans. They're concerned about their credit cards. And my first opinion usually is focus on your credit cards first.
Yeah.
Student loans, well, we can take care of that. And again, that interest is tax deductible. So how can you retire if you're carrying bad debt? The answer is you really can't. You're going to have to either work through retirement, work some type of different job in retirement, but ultimately you have to be aware that carrying debt means you have to bring in extra income. Bringing in extra income means you probably cannot afford to retire. Remember, we've talked about it previously. Social Security at most gives us 40% of what we were making before we're working. The rest of our income, unless you have a pension, is going to come from your own savings. And therefore, carrying bad debt is a really bad habit to get used to, as Dave alluded to in the first segment. Credit card holders in New Jersey, by the way, have the highest average credit card debt of any state.
Huh.
Why? I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm assuming it's because it's expensive. It's near New York City. It's a very metropolitan region. That could be the reason. And the state with the least credit card debt was in Mississippi. Mississippi, again, different quality of life. Maybe less keeping up with the Joneses in Mississippi. I'm not sure. Never been. But certainly from a retirement standpoint, the people in Mississippi are better off than the ones in New Jersey based on the credit card debt alone, I would suggest. To put that in real numbers, the average credit card debt in the fourth quarter of 2023 in New Jersey was $8,909. That's per resident. So to give you a sense on that, Massachusetts, if you're wondering, came in the fifth worst with an average credit card balance in the fourth quarter of 2023 of $8,447. So we are the fifth, I guess, most debt-laden state in the union, and I'm not surprised with Massachusetts' cost of living going through the roof and cost of groceries going through the roof. Everything seems to be going up, so I'm not so surprised by that. But again, I look at it as sort of a scale, and eventually the scale is going to be tipped one way or the other. You cannot continue to make ends meet by using credit cards and paying off balances. It's just not going to be a way to get through retirement successfully or even get to retirement, quite frankly. And, you know, just for those Rhode Island listeners, of course, because we're on the border here in lovely Somerset, we won't let them point fingers at us. Rhode Island came in the ninth worst with an average credit card balance in the fourth quarter of 2023 of $7,872. So less than $1,000 separates us in Massachusetts from those in Rhode Island. Bottom line is we're all carrying too much debt, Dave.
I believe it's a cost of living and being self-sufficient.
Yeah, I think it's a big part of it, but I also think that you've got to make smart decisions, and you've got to make not just decisions that can help you now, but decisions that'll help you for the rest of your lives. You know, my wife and I have said it on the show before. We bought our house in 06 and 07 right before the financial crisis. No one saw it coming. We got our pre-approval letter from the bank. Bank told us we could borrow somewhere in, I think it was the $360,000 range. We ended up buying a house significantly under that. Mm-hmm. Significantly under that. We felt comfortable underspending, making sure we had everything we needed to go with the house, like a lawnmower and a snowblower. And luckily, it worked out. Now, I'm not saying I'm Nostradamus. I'm not saying, you know, I'm always right. But I'm saying certainly we did what worked best for us. We did not want the big four-bedroom McMansion. We had decided when we got together back in college, we were going to have one child. We don't need four bedrooms with one child. We only need one bedroom. You know, she mentioned it to me this weekend. I don't want bunk beds in my room. I'm like, well, they've served you to this point for your little sleepovers and buddies and all that stuff. But he's getting to the age now at 15. He is not thinking of sleepovers any longer, which I guess is a good thing, is a good thing. So anyway, Americans carried a balance on 56% of all active credit card accounts in the third quarter of 2022. That is the most recent data available from the American Bankers Association. So, you know, the reality is we are carrying debt. We are carrying lots of debt. We are carrying it on multiple cards. 56% of any active credit card has a current balance being carried forward. Pretty amazing.
It's a lot of money.
A lot of money. We're talking trillions.
The size of them you're talking about are bigger than my first calculator would even calculate.
Yeah. You know, realistically, the old Coleco or whatever it was, right?
Yeah, Texas Instruments. So
yeah, that's what I was really thinking of. But it's so funny. I mean, not funny. The debt part's not funny. But I think that the reality is I meet all different types of people in my office. Some come in and really it's a couple tweaks and corrections, and then they're ready to go for retirement right out of the gate. For others who are younger, we've got to work on the good habits that will get you the money saved so you even have a chance to retire. And you cannot let, you know, the current system, what's going on in the world around you, affect you, because ultimately if you make 65 or 67 years old and you haven't saved enough, no one's going to have a pity party for you. You're going to just continue to work, and it's kind of a silent burden that you are going to have to bear if you don't start planning for retirement now. And part of retirement planning, which is why I'm talking about it today, is working on a good debt, you know, repayment schedule if you're in debt, and then working to make sure you stay out of debt if you're someone who happens to be out of debt right now.
You know, I have a friend, and she said the exact thing that you advise against. She said to me the other day, I often worry about running out of money,
mm-hmm.
and I've been on the show long enough to know that you should know if you're going to run out of money or not. And you should know you're not going to.
Yeah, the numbers don't lie.
There's a way to do that. Go see Richard, you know?
The numbers don't lie. But I think for some people, you know, I had a meeting today with a client, potential client. It was a great meeting. But I think for her, it's about fear. You know, sometimes as humans, we don't ask the questions because we already know the answers, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we avoid it. The ostrich with their head in the sand kind of approach, right? But I think ultimately the best thing you can do if you have a problem, the thing I explain to my family, the thing I explain to my clients is, if you know there's a problem, grab that problem by the horns. Grab that bull by the horns and make sure you understand where it's coming from, how best to solve it, and can you solve it? Because, you know, what I say all the time with clients is, there's only two things that are going to happen in your life. Something that you're going to worry about that's not going to happen, so you're using up your good time worried about something that's not going to happen, or you're worrying about something that's inevitably going to happen, you know? So what can you do to work through those worries and put yourself in the best position possible? That's what you've got to focus on. You know, I'm 47 years old and my son's 15. You know what's on my radar 4 years from now? College. And
yeah.
I've got to be financially and mentally prepared to help him apply for loans, pay some of it potentially, depending on what the situation is. You've got to be aware of that and you've got to be prepared for that. And the easiest way to do it is have a relationship with a financial advisor. Make sure to have regular checkups, regular meetings with that person so that you know you're in the best position you can be. Now, no one's going to be perfect. That's okay. But just put yourself in the best position possible. And I'm telling you, those regular annual meetings my clients go through, it's a little bit social. Check in, how you doing? You know, how's the family kind of thing? But it inevitably gets down to brass tacks. And we talk about what's your goal, what's changed, what hasn't, and where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? So we'll take our next break and come back strong. But again, if you're someone who's not sure how you're going to retire successfully, you can give my office a call and we'll sit down and come up with a plan. 508-673-3300.
In a world filled with volatile markets and risky, high-fee investment choices, you feel alone and confused.
Does the thought of planning for retirement remind you of a scary Hollywood movie trailer? Call now for a free, no-obligation retirement income kit packed full of easy-to-understand information designed to help you create and maintain steady, predictable retirement income that can never be lost in the market. Call today, 855-406-6218, or download it now, financialplanninghour.com. You've worked too long and too hard to allow your retirement to play out like a scary movie trailer. So call right now, 855-406-6218. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. Ideas, concepts, and strategies that may challenge the way you were taught to think about saving and investing for retirement. The studio line is 508-673-1480. You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
And welcome back into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. Today we're talking about that four-letter world that word that keeps you up at night, debt. Debt is becoming a bigger issue in our country by the quarter, it seems, based on statistics. The numbers of credit card balances, 56% of cards currently have an active balance, and the debt load in general is just getting higher, and we hear it everywhere, and I think we're becoming sort of immune to it. We're numb to it. You know, that we talk about the federal government debt ceiling and they just keep voting up that number. And unfortunately, we're not the federal government at home. We cannot just print money. We cannot just, you know, give out IOUs. If you owe MasterCard $20,000, they're eventually going to get their pound of flesh. So you've really got to work to pay off that debt if you want to be a successful retiree and stay a successful retiree. For all credit card balances, I mentioned 56% of cards have balances currently. For all the credit card balances outstanding, the average annual percentage rate in the fourth quarter of 2023 was 21.47%. That's pretty high. You know, Dave, being in real estate, you hear people complaining about having to buy homes at 6-7% right
now. Which is what, yeah, right now.
And yet they've got credit card balances three times as high, 21%. Now, I know before you call and say, well, that's not a house, that's dinner out. I get it. But 21%, every time you take out your credit card, I want to ask yourself before you use it, would I pay 21% more for this item than what I'm paying now for it? And if you're carrying debt, that's exactly what you're going to end up doing in the long run. So be aware
of that. Why would you spend $100 on dinner and pay the credit card company $121? It doesn't make any sense.
That's assuming you pay it off in a year.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean.
I do. I don't know why people do it, but I think, again, you just get numb to the idea of it and you don't know what else to do and you want to have fun. And, you know, I think in our minds, I think we think of that frugal, you know, well-off individual, that good saver, that good soon-to-be retiree person is kind of a stick in the mud. They're no fun. No, they just choose to have their fun different ways and maybe in a little bit more affordable way. You don't have to do everything at once. Statistically, most retirees will spend more in their first year of retirement than they will in their last year of work. And you ask yourself, why would that be? You know, think, why would that be? Well, the answer is simple. Because when you first hit the retirement, you know, finish line, you're like, well, I've been putting all this stuff off since to retirement. Now I'm going to do it all. I'm going to go to Hawaii. I'm going to buy the new car, put the bathroom in the house, all this stuff you're going to do. And again, it's kind of counterintuitive to spend more in your first year of retirement than you did in your last year of working when you had a steady paycheck coming in during that time. So what's your best move going forward when it comes to debt? Well, of course, it's to pay your balance in full each month. Do you know, as Dave got me to say it earlier, but credit cards call people who pay their balance off every month deadbeats or freeloaders. And trust me, when it comes to credit cards, you want to be a deadbeat or a freeloader. But for some, that's not an option. We don't always have that money we need to pay off that debt. So often we become victims to unexpected expenses, which is why I continue to stress the importance of an emergency account to help minimize the effects of that unforeseen expense on your overall financial health. If you're living paycheck to paycheck, I know it's hard to hear, but you've got to put 6 to 9 months of expenses away so the next time that unforeseen expense comes, you're better prepared. I remember having a discussion with a client who's unfortunately since passed away, but she went into debt during one of those 100-year floods that seem to happen every 10 years now, and her basement flooded, and she went into credit card debt, $20,000 or so to the tune of, to redo her basement. All the stuff that goes in your basement, the water heater, the furnace, all that stuff had to be replaced. And she did not have coverage for it through her insurance company. So there she is putting $20,000 in a credit card debt. And as I met her, I said, well, how are you going to pay this all off? And she looked at me, she goes, what do you mean? I'm just going to make payments. I said, what if the floods again? And she said, I don't know. And I said, we ended up making some drastic decisions, hooked her up with an attorney that explored the options of bankruptcy with her, also got her hooked up with an insurance company that now provided her insurance that would cover her in the event of another catastrophic loss on her property. But ultimately, you know, the horse was kind of already out of the barn at that point. Damage had already happened. Credit card bill had already been raised. So, you know, you've got to be really careful of that. Because it will affect your overall financial health. And ultimately, it's been proven that if you're financially not well off, unfortunately, your mental health, you know, your physical health can suffer because you're carrying unneeded, unnecessary stress.
Not to mention it's going to affect your credit.
Yeah. And credit's becoming more and more important, that's for sure. So according to the most recent delinquency data from the Fed, the 30-day delinquency rate rose from 2.97% in the third quarter to 3.10% in the fourth quarter of 2023. So there's a lot of bad trends out there. Debt is increasing. We see that quarter over quarter. And not only is the debt increasing, but also the financial delinquency is increasing, which means more and more people are not paying off their debt in a timely fashion. And we know what happens then. Penalties, interest, higher interest rates, all part of it. And as Dave just alluded to, keep making your payments late. Your credit score will be affected negatively, which means the next time you go to buy something with your credit score, you will pay more than somebody else. That is the ninth straight quarter of increases, pushing delinquency rates to the highest levels since the fourth quarter of 2011. Let me say that one more time. This is the ninth straight quarter of increases to delinquency. So 9 quarters in a row, over 2 years, delinquency rates have been going up.
That's real bad behavior. What's wrong with people?
I don't know.
I don't know either. That just doesn't even,
Well, I think, I hate to, we seem like we talk about COVID, even though COVID's over somewhat, right? But I feel like people got into bad habits during COVID because they got free money. And the free money really made things easier, right?
Yeah.
You know, imagine if, Dave, you made a deal with me for some strange reason. I was like, I will give you $5,000 of my money a month for 12 months. And you are going to take it. It's free money. Well, who wouldn't? But that would probably change your life, your lifestyle habits. You might go out to eat more. You might drive a nicer car, have better clothes, et cetera, et cetera. And then when 12 months later, I pull the rug out from under you and say, okay, the deal's over. Because it was only 1 year. Now you're used to the better things.
Yeah.
You know? I call that lifestyle creep. You know, and when I and other people call it lifestyle creep too. And what that really means is you got used to things a certain way, a better way, a more elevated way, and now you don't want to go back. You don't want to go back. So
I don't want to give back.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to have to pay all that interest either. So I think it's better to live within your means, certainly, than it is to live above your means. Because if you're living above your means, it's not a sustainable event. It's not going to continue to work. And eventually, you know, everyone's going to have to pay the piper, as my mother used to say.
That's right.
I can't tell how many times I use my mother's expressions. I wish she was here to hear them. But if you don't think this matters or will affect your retirement, you need to rethink your position. According to an article from the Daily Mail, a record number of Americans took money out of their 401k plans for a financial emergency last year. A record number have now decided they're so deeply in debt on one end, they're now going to tap into their retirement accounts prematurely on the other to make things better. But as a financial advisor, I can tell you, you're just robbing from Peter to pay Paul, and ultimately you're going to end up with more debt and no retirement assets, because once you start tapping into your retirement assets early, now you realize, whoa, that's pretty easy. It's not that painful. Pay a little bit more tax, get a penalty at the end of the year kind of thing. But you keep doing it because it's now something that's become part of your habit, if you will. So you really have to think about that as you go forward. Don't rob your retirement account until it's time to retire, and then have a plan to spend it systematically in a conscious way that keeps, you know, the idea of focus that you are probably going to live 30 years in retirement. So, you know, to come out of the gate and spend all your money in the first 2 or 3 years is really going to leave you disappointed in the long run when you have to give back that champagne lifestyle for that light beer lifestyle, if you will. But it's really difficult. And I've seen it firsthand with clients. My mother was a great example. Anybody who listens to me regularly knows that my mother was an overspender, not a great financial client. And certainly loved the better things in life, traveling and eating out among the number one problems mom had. But for her, it all worked out in the end because she died at 70. You know, most of my clients are in their 70s now and hope to live into their 80s and beyond.
Yeah.
So, you know, having that financial plan that sort of exhausts itself in your 70s, early 70s, late 60s, you know, that's really not a good idea, because now you're getting more and more anxious and you have to rely on other people to help out, whether it's your kids, sometimes even your grandkids.
The government.
That's not a good option, because when the government starts getting involved in your financials, they kind of limit you to what your choices are. And, you know, what I tell my clients is money doesn't make you happy or better looking. But money does is it gives you choices. You can go here or you can go there. That's what money really gives. So, you know, you need to think about that before you're so quick to give up that financial freedom that comes with having money. So according to that article from the Daily Mail, more Americans than ever are taking out money from their 401k plans for a financial emergency. Data from Vanguard, one of the largest retirement plan providers, revealed 3.6% of all participants that work with Vanguard took early withdrawals from their accounts. Based on the 5 million retirement accounts Vanguard administers, that's about 180,000 people tapped into their retirement accounts early last year for some financial emergency. And I would tell you, Dave, honestly, I wonder how many really were financial emergencies. Because a lot of times we build it up to, it's an emergency, it's an emergency, it's an emergency. Well, not having the best cable TV package is not an emergency. It's a want. So, you know, if you could really start to think about your wants versus your needs when you're saving for retirement, you will be better off. You know, my own personal spin on it, and again, I can be a bit of a hard guy when it comes to this kind of stuff, but my first want is I want to retire successfully. But then I think about what I need to do it. And what I need to do is I need to max out my retirement contributions every year, make sure my wife's doing the same, make sure my kid goes to an affordable school that, you know, isn't about his choices alone, but also include my choices, as in I want to retire successfully and not have to worry about you bankrupting me by going to a $75,000 per year school. And it's amazing, as I've said on the show before, a lot of people don't even use their degrees when they go to these really expensive schools. So you've got to make sure that, you know, your children, your grandchildren are not on helping bankrupt you or putting you in tough financial situations. I am a big believer in telling your kids the facts. And I've said it on the show multiple times. If your kid is smart enough to go to college, they should be smart enough to understand what kind of colleges you can afford to help them go to. And understanding that you cannot afford to go bankrupt sending them to these schools. And, you know, just keep in mind, I've said it for years, you can borrow to go to college. You cannot borrow to retirement. There's no such thing as a retirement loan. So you've got to find another way. And stealing from your retirement assets because you can early doesn't mean you should. In fact, it means the exact opposite. You shouldn't. And according to Vanguard, 180,000 people that they work with last year, so these are people that are saving money already, decided it was in their best interest to take money out of their retirement accounts because that's the kind of debt they were in. Now, sure, I'm sure some were medical, necessary, absolutely, no choice. But I promise you, out of those 180,000 people just from Vanguard, a lot of those were for things that were frivolous, like travel or cars or, you know, paying off debt from previous vacations, things of that nature. And that's why you've got to be aware of that. And by the way, that statistic, that's just Vanguard. So if we were to extrapolate that 3.6% across the board, and we went to Fidelity, and we went to Prudential, and we went to Voya, and we just kept, you know, using that 3.6 percentage number of customers, we would come up with millions and millions of people, my guess is, that literally robbed from their retirement because that's what they felt was in their best interest in 2023. And the answer is it's not. So 2023 marked the second year in a row that emergency withdrawals hit record highs. So 2022, 2023 just continue that trend. So we're seeing it more and more, Dave, and it doesn't look like it's going away. And I think it kind of tells us a bigger picture. The current system's broken. The current system's broken. Wages are not going quick enough up. Expenses are going up too quick, too high, and as a result, we have people that are really forced into tough positions and how they're gonna save for retirement, if they're gonna save for retirement at all, and what ultimately, as a result, what their retirement will look like. So we'll take our last break and come right back. Again, if you need help retiring successfully, you want to create a financial plan to make sure you have a better chance of retiring successfully, give my office a call, 508-673-3300.
Investing in the stock market these days is like riding a roller coaster. Leaving a place of safety, get on the coaster, hear the clickety-clack as you experience anticipation climbing to the top of the hill, followed by sheer panic as you plummet back to the earth, hoping you stay on track. You might be brave enough to repeat the process several times, going up and down, but never achieving higher highs and accomplishing nothing but anticipation followed by fear. The stock market has been doing this same ride of volatility with no real growth. Proper education, though, can help you find a better way to grow your money during these times.
So, how's this latest stock market roller coaster treating you? It's time to get off and call Richard Bassett right now at 855-406-6218. That's 855-406-6218. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
And welcome back into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. Today we've been talking about that four-letter word, debt. I think a lot of us as Americans in general are used to that word debt being around us in our politics, certainly in our own lives. And I'll tell you, from my standpoint, it's really just, it's disastrous if you get over debt laden and you're just not sure how to get out. For some, it's embarrassing. For some, it's something they don't want to talk about with others. But, you know, I find that the more you talk about it, the more you realize that, you know, we've all been there perhaps in the past and we all have our ways of getting out of it. And really, it doesn't, I don't think there's no right way to say this is how you get out of debt or not. But I think the best thing you can do is just, like I said earlier, grab the bull by the horns and start working on it. If you're overspending, stop. If you enjoy, you know, going out to eat, limit yourself to, you know, a couple times a month and start taking that extra money you're saving and putting it towards the debt repayment. And I assure you that feeling you get as you get closer to being debt free, you will feel more empowered to be able to do things when you want versus when you're forced to. You know, I'd much rather take a trip knowing I can pay cash for it than putting it on my credit card bill and worrying about how I'm going to pay for it over the next year, 3, 10 years. We've seen the commercials now where the government's doing a better job of telling us that, you know, hey, if you make that minimum payment, it'll take you 42 years to pay off. There's a reason they're doing that, and it's not because the federal government really is caring. It's because they want to make sure you are aware of the sort of that line you're walking and how quickly you can get into a bad place with debt, thinking that, you know, you've got a handle on it. But the facts are you can. I've talked to people in the past where they, you know, their approach was, hey, I'll just ring up the debt and every now and then I'll flip it to 0% offers and then I'll work to pay it down. That sounds good. What if the 0% credit card offers dry up?
And they will, because they get onto you after a while.
Of course. What do you do then? Well, now you have a bigger debt load and you have that 24, 25% interest rate. Now you say to yourself, you know, you can't afford to retire or you can't afford to make the payments. I met a person once, not a client, who was getting ready to invest some money. And this is about 2 years ago when interest rates started to climb. And in the end, she told me she could not invest because her kids' credit card interest rates went up too high. They could no longer afford it. So the money that this woman was going to use to invest, she ended up gifting it to her children to help them pay off their credit card debt. And again, don't get me started, because to me, that's not a great lesson, because now you didn't teach the kids anything except, hey, if you need more money, come see mom or dad because we'll give it to you. And apparently we were endless cash registers, which we're not. You know, we're not. So you've got to think about how you're going to pay off that debt. My son yesterday had an issue with one of his earbud things the kids wear. They all wear so they don't have to listen to us talk, I guess. And he got wet. It got wet. So his big concern is it going to work? Of course, I tried the old put it in the rice thing. We'll see if it works today. But if not, I know tonight when I get home from work at 9 o'clock tonight, he's going to ask me for a new pair of earbuds. And those are hundreds of dollars, which he doesn't have. So I'm going to, as calmly as I can, give him a whole bunch of list of things around the house that can be done for the spring. Turning water on, bringing hoses out, getting the lawnmower tuned up, oil changes, etc. And he's capable of doing 90% of that stuff. And if he wants money, well, he's going to have to earn it. He's not going to get it from me for free. And that's where I think we all start with our debt problems, is we think that, you know, we'll always be able to get ahead of it, but we can't. I think of debt like the avalanche you see in the movies. It starts at the top, it's small, a little piece of snow breaks off the mountain, and it starts going down the hill, gathering more snow as it goes, and before you know it, it gets down to the bottom of the mountain, and it's a very powerful, massive force that really can level anything in its path, and debt's that way. Our federal government has the unique ability when they go deeper in debt, they just keep upping the limits and keep printing more money. That doesn't work for your household. It doesn't. You can't run your household like the federal government, and nor should you. So the best thing to do is work to pay off that debt, create a budget, work on that budget, use that budget as a rough draft, and redo it, and redo it again until you get real numbers that will work. And don't be a liar. Don't lie to yourself. And what I mean by don't be a liar is, you know, if you know you go out to dinner four nights a week, Well, that's a lot. But you better write it down, because that's where the issues are. That's what a budget's designed for, is really to help you uncover the issues that you're looking for, why you're not getting ahead financially as much as you think you should, depending on where you are in life. So again, if you need help retiring successfully, you're not sure how to create a budget, how to put more money away, save more money, earn more money, you can give my office a call at 508-673-3300. We'll be happy to help you. Sit down. We'll offer you a free consultation. Come in, meet one of the advisors. Sit down, kind of put your facts on paper, and then from there, we can work on the best way possible to accomplish your goals going forward, which one of them certainly should be retiring as near or debt-free as possible. So again, 508-673-3300 is the office number. You can find us on Facebook, and our website is jmarshallfinancial.com. What's going on in the real estate world, Dave?
All kinds of new and exciting stuff. And I'm David Brown, realtor with High Point Properties. Phone number 508-277-3297. I am a realtor, yes. Going to talk about something we all love talking about. That's cash. You like cash, don't you?
Cash.
Cash. Cash is king. And listen to this. A lot of home buyers are dodging the higher mortgage rates, the interest rates, by buying with cash. In fact, 32% of home sales in January were the highest since 2014. 32% of home buyers bought with cash. That's a lot, and it's not because they're first time home buyers. In fact, first time home buyers only made up about 6% of the total people who bought with cash. The other 26% were repeat buyers, people who had equity built up in their homes. And part of the equity that was built up in their homes, you know, then say they're downsizing from a large house to a condo or a smaller house. So they're selling their great big house for a lot of money, and they're spending less on their smaller house. So they're putting money in their back pocket, and that's not just the value of the house, it's the equity of the house. But that doesn't say it's not the value of the house, and that's because prices of houses have gone up so much that there's this imitation equity out there. So they sell it for more, even though they've only paid so much. And there's certain places in the U.S. where there's more cash buyers, and that's Macon, Georgia. They had 61% of home buyers buy homes with cash. Naples, Florida, 58%. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, was 56%. Youngstown, Ohio, was 55.1, Salisbury, Maryland, 34%, and there's more, but I'm not going to keep going. There's five more that I can tell you about, but you know, why are there cash buyers there? Honestly, no one really knows. But could it be because there's more investors? Investors are who's making the most buys with cash.
Could be.
So perhaps it's the number of investors. Perhaps it's what could it be? There's other things I'm kind of trying to find on my sheet of paper. Maybe just a more competitive market for buyers, and possibly higher and tighter lending standards. So who knows? A little bit about cash. I'm Dave Brown, realtor, High Point Properties. Give me a call, 508-277-3297. Thanks.
Thank you very much, everyone. I'll talk to you next week.